8 on Saturday morning from 10 to 12, and then on Sunday at our regular worship hour. And Brother John Butler will be here to share with us, to challenge us, and to prepare our hearts for that weekend. There are some books that are available out in the foyer at the information table entitled Flickering Lamps. Some of you raised your hand and said that you wanted to have a copy of that. So there are a few copies out there on that table. Be sure to take one with you if you want to and read it. I will tell you, you will not be the same after you finish this book. It will change you and challenge you as we prepare our hearts for what God wants to do in us and then through us on that weekend. Let me invite you to take your Bibles this morning and open up to John 15. We're going to look at a passage there, and then also John chapter 21. Dutch mentioned that in this chapter 15, Jesus talks about being friends. He talks to his disciples about being friends. And what I want to tell you is this: that is what Jesus really is looking for from us. He's looking for friendship. I've heard it said that friendship is the deepest form of discipleship. And so if we think about growing deeper in our spiritual lives and learning more about God and about the scriptures and about how to live our lives, and we are becoming deeper and truer disciples, I want to tell you that the deepest form of that is friendship. Friendship with the Lord. And so when Jesus calls his disciples his friends, that is a powerful description of where it is that Jesus wants to end up with people. And we know Jesus is a Savior and Lord, and we talk to people about giving their hearts and their lives to Jesus and to accept him as their Lord and Savior. And today, Tom and Mark were baptized and as evidence of that step of faith that they've taken. But Jesus wants to be much, much, much more than just our Savior and Lord. He wants to be our friend. Now, when I say friend, I want to be clear about it. It's not the same kind of friendship that we might have with each other. When we think about our best friends, it's not necessarily that kind of friendship. There are some similarities for sure. But there's something much deeper and much truer about what friendship with Jesus is about. And I want to just touch on that just a little bit in the time that I have remaining. There's a history of friendship between God and humanity. Throughout the Bible, real life characters found God to be real and active in their life and in the world around them. Abraham was called the friend of God. Is that because Abraham was such a spiritual giant? I don't think so. I think if you do a character study of Abraham, you see a real-life human, a man, a married man, a sojourner, an entrepreneur who was fully human with all of the conflict and sin that's involved in all of our humanity. And yet there was something about Abraham that caused him to be called the friend of God. And I promise you, it's not because he was such a deeply spiritual giant. There was something else. There was something else. And the reason that that's some good news to me today, even though Abraham's an ancient, ancient character, is that what I know is that I can also have a friendship with God despite my humanity. Well, so we know Abraham was a friend of God because Abraham responded to God when God approached him. Abraham did not reject or ignore God. That really is kind of the foundation upon which friendship with God grows. You don't turn a hand to God and say, God, not interested. But you're open and responsive to God. There are other individuals in the scriptures that had a deep and abiding friendship with God because they responded to God and they went with God on an amazing adventure. What about Ruth? You know that Old Testament story of Ruth and how she was about to be sent back to her homeland, but she looked at her mother-in-law and said, no, let me go with you. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Ruth. What about David? David, all through the scriptures, all through the Psalms, David composes great masterpieces that describe really at the heart of it what friendship with God is about. It seems as if David just goes back and forth, almost like David, is bipolar sometimes. It seems like that he is like riding the clouds of heaven with God, singing incredible praises to God, composing Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then, 10 Psalms later, "God, why are you not paying attention to me?" Just that swing in relationship with God. David knew the Lord as his friend. Well, there's also Rahab. Rahab, who's actually in the lineage of Jesus. Rahab was not a poster child for holiness. But Rahab was faithful, and she responded to God and followed God in obedience. And God used her, and God brought her into his family. She had friendship with God. And even on through the rest of the Old Testament, all through the prophets, both major and minor prophets, we see the prophets telling us about what friendship with God can really look like, a closeness, a depth of relationship with God, a closeness to God, the kind of true relationship with God that abides and that holds us and that hangs on even through difficulty. And then we get into the New Testament and we come to the disciples. Have you ever tried to name all the disciples? I tried to do that. As typical in my studies, I was at about 85%. So there's Matthew, the tax collector. There's Philip. There's Bartholomew. Don't know much about Bartholomew. There's Thomas, the doubter, also the twin. There's Andrew, the brother of Simon, who is Simon called Peter. Jesus nicknamed Simon the Rock. Then you also have the other Simon, the zealot. You have James and John. Then you have the other James. You have Judas Iscariot, and then the other Judas. Those are the 12. We don't know everything about all of them. We know a little bit about some of them. We can know, though, that for all of them, Jesus called them friends. You say, well, what about Judas Iscariot, the betrayer? Well, our passage today in John 15 is a part of a discourse that Jesus had. This was the conversation that Jesus had with his disciples when they were in the upper room. This is not Jesus sitting out on a hillside or sitting in a boat at the lakeside talking to a hillside of people. This is Jesus gathered in the upper room with his disciples to talk to them about what really mattered. And John 15, where Jesus calls those disciples his friends, is a part of that conversation. And Judas Iscariot is a part of that. You see, I think Jesus was reaching out to Judas to say, Judas, don't betray me. I don't call you my slave anymore. I don't call you my servant. Judas, I want you to be my friend. I want friendship with you. Don't betray me. Now, that's not what the text says, but that's the context. Even Judas, Jesus was reaching toward him, somebody that was hell-bent on betraying him. He had a completely other agenda. He wanted to make some bucks and move on. And but even him, Jesus was reaching out as best he could to say, Judas, stick with me. Let us go to that place of friendship. Well, Jesus calls all of these disciples his friends. Jesus speaks of that kind of relationship with them when they're gathered in the upper room. So John 15, if you're there, look at verse 12. I'll just read a few verses here. Jesus says this, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." You know, yesterday we went out into the community. And, we didn't go out there to invite people to come to church. We didn't go out there to try to promote Robertsville Baptist Church. You know why? We're not going out there for our glory. We're going out there for the Lord's glory. We're going out into the community that the Lord loves, where he is already there, so that he may be glorified. And I believe that in every conversation, in every prayer, in every interaction that was neighborly and hospitable and friendly, God was glorified. When Jesus is speaking here, this great command, love each other as I have loved you. When we go out to meet people and befriend people. The love that we have is because Jesus has loved us. And what we have to offer to people is not membership in a Baptist church, but the love and the friendship that Jesus has for them. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, but to lay down their lives for their friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I have appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. We asked the Lord for some things yesterday, and the Lord heard us, and the Lord has answered us. This is my command, Jesus repeats, love each other. Specifically in verse 15, Jesus connects being his disciple with being his friend. How is it, Pastor, that you can say the deepest form of discipleship is friendship? Well, Jesus does that. Look back at verse 15. I no longer call you servants. I have called you friends. For I have what I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. I've taught you. We've talked about how discipleship is learning Jesus. And Jesus says, I've called you friends because you have learned from me. I have taught you about my Father. So, there is a connection here between being a disciple and being Jesus' friend. Jesus says to his disciples, you can know you're my friends because I've shared with you the things that mean the most to me, and that is the things of the Father. Jesus has taught his disciples the things of his Father. Today, what I want to do is I want to leave you with just a couple of ways that being having a friendship with Jesus is significant to us. You know, discipleship is what we've learned over the last several weeks from John 21. That being a disciple means, first of all, having a personal love relationship with Jesus. Jesus asked Peter. He didn't ask Peter, do you know about me? He asked Peter, do you love me? You see, discipleship is based off of a personal love relationship with Jesus. We don't love Jesus perfectly, but we're growing in love, aren't we? We're learning how to love him more and learning what it means for Jesus to love us. Being a disciple means having a personal relationship of love with Jesus. It also means doing the work of Jesus in the world. Jesus looked at Peter and said, feed my sheep, care for my lambs. Do my work in the world, Peter. Be my presence as you go out from this place into the world around you. Being a disciple means doing the work of Jesus in the world. But it also means keeping your focus solely on Jesus. You remember talking about that this week? Keeping our focus solely on Jesus. So many things to distract us. So many things to get our eyes off of the Lord Jesus. And yet what he's asking of Peter in John 21 is this. You follow me, is what he says to Peter. Stop being distracted and concerned about everybody else and everything else around you, Peter. You follow me. Keeping our focus solely on Jesus. But Jesus takes it to a personal level when he says this to his disciples, you are my friends. It gets deeply personal at that point. You know, friendship had been a little costly for Jesus. You see, when he was with people, he was their friend. On multiple occasions, Jesus was accused of this, being the friend of sinners. No worse title could be put on a rabbi, much less a good Jew or a good religious person. But Jesus received this title because of who he was with and how he was with people. When he was with people, he was their friend. And so thus, Jesus became known as the friend of sinners. Above the cross, the title, the plaque was affixed that said, Jesus, what? King of the Jews. And the Jews rejected that, said, no, don't put that sign above his head. We don't want him to be thought of one of us. Maybe if they had had their choice, they might would have put this above his head, the friend of sinners, worthy of death. Friendship costed Jesus. There are many things that Jesus was and that he is, but perhaps the one title that seems to cut through all the stuff and gets down to the very heart of the matter is friend. There's a lot of stuff that good religion and church and people like me have tried to build up about how to know God, how to walk with him, and how to learn about him, and how to defend him, and how to argue about him, and how to be right and everybody else be wrong. But this title about Jesus cuts through all of that and gets right down to the heart of it. I no longer call you my servants. I call you my friends. I believe that what Jesus was really wanting was not disciples. I believe that what Jesus was not wanting really was people that learned about him and followed him. And you remember that movie about Forrest Gump? You remember when he's running cross country and he turns around and there's all these people following him? And then he stops running and decides he's just going to walk back home, and he walks through the crowd and they turn and look at him. So what are we supposed to do now? Jesus didn't want followers, I don't believe. He didn't want disciples. I think what Jesus wanted was for those disciples to become friends. Not necessarily the kind of friendships that we can be familiar with, and that the kind of friendship that we can extend many times. But I'm talking about real and true friendship. I believe there's something much deeper that can be achieved with Jesus than just being his follower, than just learning from him. Jesus wants from us the same thing that he wanted from the 12. Jesus wants friendship from you and from me. So, what does friendship with Jesus look like? First of all, it's this. In friendship, Jesus shares his heart with us. I'm going to tell you that that's what's closest to my heart, Jesus says. I'm going to tell you about my Father. I'm going to show you my Father. I'm not just going to tell you the things that you should believe about my Father, but I'm going to show you how to experience my Father, the Father in heaven, the Father that gives every good gift from above, the Father whose compassion and love and tender kindness never ends, the Father who is, though he is angry for a moment, casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. Disciples, I've shown you the Father. And there's nothing more, I can't be a better friend to you than to tell you who my Father is. He's wanting to show his disciples who the Father is. And there's nothing that's closer to Jesus' heart than that. He said, I and the Father are one. Jesus isn't wanting to teach people information. He's wanting to share with people his heart, what's closest to him, what's down deep in him, what he cares about the most, what he died for, who he died for. Jesus is wanting to share his heart. And that's what friendship with Jesus is about. Jesus sharing his heart with us. Secondly, it's this. What does friendship with Jesus look like? It's Jesus giving sacrificially. Now you see, in both of these, friendship with Jesus is Jesus acting toward us, not us acting toward Jesus. Jesus said, I chose you. You did not choose me. I chose you to be my friends. You did not choose me to be my friends. We can know that Jesus gives sacrificially, and that's what it means to be friends with Jesus. There is a sacrificial giving that Jesus evidences. Verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, but to lay down their life for their friend. Deep and true friendship with Jesus involves sacrifice. His sacrifice. It involves the giving of oneself. It involves giving. We talk about Jesus giving his life for us, and that is a tremendous way that we enter into friendship with him. When we realize that Jesus died for us, he died to save us, he died to forgive us, he gave sacrificially so that we could know new life, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in a new way of life. Friendship with Jesus is him giving to us a new life. Nothing else and no one else, no friend will ever be able to offer you that. And if they do try, they cannot deliver. But Jesus offers and delivers. That Jesus gives for us and to us. There are 1,000 ways that Jesus gives sacrificially to us day by day. He's with us. He encourages us. He protects us. He provides for us. He teaches us. He instructs us. He reminds us. He convicts us. Thank God he doesn't just let us go our way as if he didn't matter at all, but his Holy Spirit convicts us when we get off of that path that he wants for us. And he says, no, my child, you can't go that way and be comfortable. No, you cannot. You cannot do that thing and be happy, even though you think that will make you happy. No. That Jesus gives for us means that his Spirit is always there to remind us and to convict us to go this way, my child. Follow me. Be with me. Be my friend. Go with me. Just like Abraham did with God. When Abraham was told to leave his land and go with God to a foreign place, and Abraham took him up on it. Jesus gives for us 1,000 different ways, walking with us day by day, talking with us through his Holy Spirit. How is it that Jesus gives sacrificially for you and me? That is Jesus choosing us for friendship. One final thing about friendship with Jesus, and that is this: the friendship sticks. It sticks. Even when we might fall and fail, and sometimes it's miserable when we mess up, Jesus wanted his disciples to grow to be his friends, a deep and true friendship. And when it seemed that they were lost, when it seemed that they had splintered going their own way, Jesus held on to them, to those 12. He held on to them, not as disciples, not as followers, but as friends. In that same chapter of John, chapter 21, at the beginning of that chapter, Jesus encounters the 12 at the lakeside. And listen to what he says in verse 4 and 5. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on that lake shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus had gone to where they were. He had found them. He had gone to where they were. They didn't know who he was. But he looked out and he saw them out there fishing, and he knew who they were. And he went to where they were. And he was going to find them, and he was going to correct them, and he was going to get them back on the right path, and he was going to tell them all the things that they had done and messed up and all of this. No. Look at what happens when Jesus encounters them. Verse 5, he called out to them, hey, losers! Hey, religious fanatics! Hey, disciples of Jesus! fisherman. And you're pretty lousy fishermen too. I bet you haven't caught anything, have you? No. Jesus stood on that lake shore, looking out at those men that he had called, that he had shared his life with for 3 years. And he says to them the only thing that he can say. Friends, the ones that I've known, the ones that I've loved and cared for and sacrificed, the ones that I've died for, my friends, I bet you hadn't caught anything, have you? Take your nets and throw them on the other side of the boat. And they brought in a haul of fish. Friendship with Jesus sticks. Not because we are great friends of Jesus, but because Jesus finds us and holds us as his friends. Church, we've talked about making disciples that make disciples. That is not a study class. It's not Sunday school. It's not a Bible study. It's not a course. It's not getting from point A to point B. It's not about getting a seminary degree or going to Bible college. Being a disciple means being a friend of Jesus, deep and true. Because I really do believe that the deepest form of discipleship is friendship with Jesus. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know all that that means because I'm still growing and I'm still learning. And I'm needing Jesus to keep coming and finding me and calling me to him as his friend. And you might be that way too. But let us at least do the thing that friends do, and that is be ready to respond when Jesus comes along. That when he calls us to go with him and to go out into the world with him, that we'll do it, that we'll be ready to respond to him. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on that lake shore and looked out into that boat to those people that we call disciples. And he calls them friends. May Jesus find in us a friend. Lord, today, thank you for your word and your call to us. Thank you, Lord, for your friendship. Thank you that you hold us, that you hold us. Though we fall and fail, sometimes miserably, Lord, you hold that friendship. And you come to us, and you call out to our hearts, my friend, my friend. Lord, might we find in you friendship that is deep and true. Lord, today we give ourselves to that end. Continue speaking to us, Lord, and in this hour and beyond this hour today. Lord, I know that we'll find you to be a faithful friend to us. And might we also find that as we grow, that we are becoming faithful friends of yours as well. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. We're going to sing a closing song. This is just a song for reflection.